Hey, 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 Pasta fam. Caroline and I are taking a break this week. There is no regular full episode, so we are just releasing this little mini-sode here. And this is a Q&A with the one, the only, Lori Beth Denberg, featuring some of our Patreon community members. If you would like access to perks like these, please find us on Patreon at patreon.com/yourmomspodcast. Thank you, guys. Hope you enjoy.
Difficulties we've ever dealt with.
Riverside, count your days. Count your days because they are numbered.
Numbered.
Oh my gosh. But we made it happen. We have a full house today. We have six little boxes, including me. And one of them is Lori Beth Denberg. One of them is Caroline.
Hi.
We have a very special Patreon. Honestly, it's a Patreon trio. We have Miranda. Is your tears like friend of the pad, Miranda? Do you remember?
Yes,
I don't know. Friend of the pad. You're a friend of the pad, Miranda. James, one of our Titty Snake producers, and Iggy is on the. I think it's the friend of the. Is it the friend of the pad or is it Spirit Squad?
It's the year, it's like a free year of premium or something like that.
I think it's this, whatever the second tier is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got tiers.
We have mad Patreon tiers that have perks like chilling with Lori Beth Denberg on a Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm. Technology permitting.
One time I ate tacos from a truck in a car while we watched Bob's Burgers on her phone. On a Thursday.
We did. I didn't remember when we got the birria tacos. That's right.
They were so good.
Ooh, I've still yet to try those. And I want to try them from somewhere really good.
We'll have
to. I know I'm literally in a grand mecca, but.
Do your research because the ones I got were subpar at best.
I was thinking that. I do need to do my research. But so we had some of you guys, I think it was just James, right? Who prepared a question who was supposed to be on the main Q&A part. But Miranda, if you have a question for Lori Beth, you can absolutely ask. We will be asking Alika's question because shout out to Alika, the OG Titty Snake producer. She could not be here. She got kids and life and bless her. We are going to ask her question, but first up, you know, do you guys want to like say hi to LB a little bit more or whatever? I don't know. We've never literally done this before, so I am just winging it.
I feel like I'm in some weird like sex trafficking thing where now they're going to bid on me.
See, I was thinking of taking it like a Greatest Showman style.
Podcast, she'll call me. And be like, I told you there was sex trafficking, and I'm just like, no.
All right, I don't think Iggy's going to be the highest bidder, so James and Miranda, it's out to you to duke it out.
Okay, well, hi, Lori Beth. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time now. I grew up with you, and I loved watching you on my TV. You basically raised me, I guess, or I guess we grew up together, you know. So, but you always made me smile in a world of sadness that I had, and I love you for that.
Thank you so much. I know TV was so important to me as a kid, and the fact that I was a positive part of other kids' lives, you know, like you, it's really gratifying. It makes me feel really good. So I am very happy that I made you happy.
And I know that like you went through so much, and I know if you don't want to talk about any of that, but you went through so much and we didn't see any of that. And it breaks my heart to think that I was sitting there watching you thinking that you were living the time of your life and you weren't.
I mean, on one hand I was, because I'd always wanted to be an actress and I was doing it and I was doing it well. And I was doing it, you know, and so it's fine. Like it's doesn't need to break your heart, but it's like, you know, the gory details are the gory details. I'm still kind of coming to grips with some of that stuff you know, over the last few years. And really, like, being able to appreciate as an adult what all went on and what all was happening. So it doesn't change. I wouldn't change anything. I'd change people being pieces of shit and like doing bad things. But, mm-hmm. you know, other than that, it's like, I don't wish that I'd never done all that or anything. You know what I mean? I don't regret the stuff. And I'm kind of proud of the way I handled myself through all of it, even now. You know, like, I don't regret anything I did. So I hear the sentiment that you just shared about helping you, you know, through maybe some tough times in your childhood and making you laugh and that kind of stuff. I do get to hear that from a lot of people. That makes it like more than worthwhile, all of the stuff, you know. So yeah. Heart hand thing.
That was cute. Oh yeah, I'm over here. Mm. You know, I gotta put something in the air. Always gotta.
Penny and the Jets over there.
Is this what we're doing?
I have Penny and the Jets. It is what we're doing. You know what we do? This is the yes,
Marin. I would like to take this time to tell you all about my sobriety and how it has helped my life.
I'm not joining your cult, LB.
That's fine, Caroline. Fine. No, you're fine. No, you're totally. I'm friends with Caroline. Are you kidding me?
I flew out to see her and like got off the plane and was like, okay, but can I go to a head shop? And she was like, a weed store. And she's like, yes, but I'm not going in. And then I got in the car and she was like, let me see what you got.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't need to go in the weed shop.
I didn't need to go in the weed shop,
but if I'm around this point, because I've been sober almost 20 years, if I'm around weed, I want to smell it. And so like I checked out her wares, but I just like, I don't need to go in the shop. Mm-hmm. But that was literally the first thing we did. I got her off the plane. We went and ate fried chicken and breakfast items at Dinah's, and then we went to the weed shop.
That sounds like a phenomenal day.
And then we went to the La Brea Tar Pits.
Well, then we went to every single thing you could possibly do in Southern California until we were literally drained of all our energy and will to live.
And fun.
We did way too much. We did.
I was in California. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Christmas. I overscheduled Caroline and I on our.
We did. We did Disneyland. We did the Tar Pits. We did the Hollywood Bowl. We did a Dodger game. We went to the spa. That was really nice.
We went to the spa twice.
Ooh, I took the best nap at the second spa in one of those zero gravity chairs. It was beautiful.
Oh, that sounds.
I tried to like make our days like higher impact, lower impact, but it would have all worked out, but Disneyland really takes like your will to live. If you do it right,
you need
days to recover.
As somebody who is disabled and went to Disneyland in 2016 and walked around Disneyland, all of Disneyland and to Disneyland, it literally, my legs have never recovered, even 10 years later, 9 years later.
We're both smokers, so like we had to like up leave Disneyland a couple of times.
We had to walk like 3/4 of a mile to get to where we were allowed to smoke.
And then
hike back.
Well, and I think that then like the first place that we smoked, we weren't actually allowed to smoke there because eventually someone came and told us and we had to move. James, do you have a question?
I'm just letting you know that you were my favorite cast member of all that.
Thank you, love. Thank you, thank you.
And can you yell at me for being allowed in the library?
I don't want to yell. I'm in my friend's house, and she has a special needs daughter, and I'm worried that if I yell, it might start off a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're yelling in here.
And while I think that Degrassi, The Next Generation is a very important show, and this is a very important podcast. I don't think it's as important as my friend's special need daughter not having an episode.
That's so rude.
So I will say to you, quiet, this is a library.
Okay? Which is
sometimes, you know, it's one of those things where your mom doesn't yell. She goes, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed, and it hurts you 10 times more.
I got
That's
you.
What I'm going for. Ooh. That's what I'm going you. For right now.
Activated my trauma like a spidey sense neuron.
That's my superpower.
Loud Librarian was my mom's favorite sketch. She to this day will like watch one and laugh her ass off. She thinks it's like peak comedy.
They're so funny. They're so.
I saw Nickelodeon's top 10 sketches from it, and also Vital Information on YouTube yesterday. It was really good.
Excellent.
And we're going to let Alika have two questions since she's not here to defend herself.
Okay.
So let me just find them in the chat. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay,
I think the one show that you were on that is very underrated was the Figure It Out show. I love that.
Yeah. Love Figure It Out.
The way... My mom and I spent forever trying to figure out a talent I had that could get me on to Figure It Out.
I was like trying to be like, what do I do?
My parents weren't like that. I was an American Idol kid. I wrote songs at like 8 years old and was like, I'm going to sing on American Idol.
Oh no!
It was real bad.
I'm gonna need to hear those sometime.
I cannot do that.
Alika's first question is: Loud Librarian versus Vital Information, which was your favorite?
Oh, criminy crim cram! Pardon my language. I'm so sorry.
Childhood ruined.
Yeah, I know, right? That is very interesting. I would say Vital Information's, they're kind of equally difficult. So the favorite, like when people ask, when I get asked, what's your favorite character from all that, I usually end up saying Miss Fingerly, excuse me. She's unattached. And I say that because a lot of the Librarian's a great character, but it's extraordinarily difficult to do energy-wise and prop-wise and like remembering the lines while screaming, while trying not to lose my voice and like sweating. And it's like extraordinarily physically taxing. So that's why I always go like, this Miss Fingerly was a little easier and goofier. And Vitals the same way was... I would never get the vitals until like right before I had to do them. So I didn't have the time to prepare the way that I would have liked to. So that was always very nerve-wracking. So I would probably say...
You did so well with them, though.
Well, I'm extraordinarily talented, Caroline.
I know.
I mean, no, you cannot understate my importance to the genre of life. I really got what they were supposed to be. And so I really like them. So I would probably say between the two, we lost someone.
We lost
Miranda
Iggy.
And
if he comes back, we'll let him back.
Gotcha.
Right now, Iggy came.
So, Miranda's, Iggy's. Yeah. So I would say I'll take the Loud Librarian over the Vitals.
Okay.
Because in the end, it's very taxing but cathartic to get to like kick shit and like yell.
Yeah. I know you don't remember it and I can't find the video, but you yelled at Usher.
I did yell at Usher.
You did, and
at
it was
Baby
beautiful.
Usher. The only thing I remember about Usher is like talking to his mom. Whenever Usher was around, I'd end up chatting with his mama and we would have the best time. That's what I remember about Usher.
Iggy's back.
And then Alika's second question is, how hard was it to keep a straight face for the librarian constantly yelling without breaking character?
Oh, it wasn't that hard to keep a straight face. Mostly because I was so... I don't know. I get into this zone when I'm doing those characters where it's kind of a defense mechanism that I kind of live in like this, that it's real. So I'm playing it so straight that I'm like invested in it that way. And that's how I avoided like breaking and laughing through a lot of different stuff. Because I played so many characters that were like the moms and teachers and like flustered or frustrated that I sometimes had to go into, and I'm, this totally sounds like actor woo-woo, like I wish I would punch myself in the face. But I think that I was so like my character's subtext and like her aura was just really important to me. No, so I think I was so focused on the technical aspects of the loud librarian, like doing it physically and vocally and all that kind of stuff, that I just kind of didn't have that issue, which was, you know, like laughing or, you know, doing whatever. I'm pretty good at not breaking character.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
Okay. I mean, I didn't enter the raffle. I don't know. My question is, you can take any movie and the cast stays exactly the same except that you replace one actor.
Oh, cripes. Let me think. One movie. Wow, I feel like I should have been given more notice on this.
I just thought of it. If you can't answer it, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm. All right, give me a minute. I'm trying. Of course, my first joke, my response to anything having to do with a movie is always to say Schindler's List.
Who are you replacing in Schindler's List? Is it Ralph?
Who am I replacing?
Is it Ralph Fiennes?
No, it might just be the little girl in the red coat. I mean, I'll fit in where I fit in, but what's like a special movie that would have been like great to be a part of? Like the first thing I thought of was like an early Adam Sandler movie. To be part of just like the crew and like hanging out. But gosh, I will keep thinking and give you a more direct answer.
I would like to ask a question.
Okay.
Please do see Happy Gilmore 2. It's coming out next month.
I suspect I will not be going to see it, but I suspect that I will see it. Meaning, as with most things, I don't leave my house or engage in activities often. But I'll definitely, like, if it was on, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm watching this.
I felt that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Miranda, you have your hand up. Yes?
I have a question. Did you go to like acting school or were you in drama club as like at a younger age, or like how did you find yourself into acting?
Yeah, it's what I always the headphones are coming off. It's what I always gravitated toward drama at, you know, in school and in like summer camp when you got to choose what you wanted to do. My first grade teacher did a lot of plays. She incorporated a lot of plays into her curriculum. And I just loved it. And I like was really drawn to it. I knew everybody's lines. I knew everybody's part. And I just really, really loved it. And from then, from the first grade, then I would be in chorus when I could, or, you know, at summer camp and drama club or whatever it was. And that just became my real focus, where, you know, throughout all schooling, throughout, you know, extracurriculars, that kind of stuff. And I just at some point was like, I really want to be an actor. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know anything, whatever, but I ended up putting all of my actual energy and like time and care into perform, not just performing, but I would do stage stuff for shows. I would do, you know, behind the scenes. I would make the programs, sell the ads for the programs for the high school show. It was just really what I found myself passionate about and putting my energy into. So I didn't necessarily like go to acting school, or I didn't necessarily go to regular school either. I did the parts I wanted, and now I'm a successful actress and a high school dropout. So, you know, take from that what you will.
I like that. My daughter's very into like acting. Like, she's always trying to like mimic all of the movies that she watches, and I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, you could be an actor. Like, you'd be really good at it, but I don't want to send you to that lifestyle. No, so
what I recommend is, if you have a kid, because people have come up to me for the last 30 years going, my kid wants to be an actor, and what should they do? And I want to be like, go away from me. But if your daughter's interested in that, find a theater troupe, have her do it in school, have her, you know, if there's a community theater troupe that has a play or something, because there's a difference between wanting to be an actor, like you're saying, she mimics stuff and she's like doing the performance part, but tons of the people that come up to me about like their kid wants to be an actor, I know they want their kid to make money, or someone wants to be at a red carpet party, not be an actor. So if you go and do some theater stuff and you really like that, then you like it. But if you're not drawn to that part, the actual like acting performance production part of it, the yucky parts of show business are not worth not even liking the good parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I like that. That's what I kind of gravitated towards and was kind of looking at. So she's very interested in it.
Right? How old is she?
7.
Oh, she has very teeny tiny baby.
That's a good time, I feel like, to get into community theater, because like a lot of community theater is very family oriented, and it becomes very like, it becomes a second family. Mm-hmm. And it's somewhere where she can grow and learn and like, yeah. And there's always, every show needs a cute kid.
Right. Theater is also really good for kids because they tend to not be like, oh, you're a star. Everybody helps out with everything. You learn a lot of skills.
Yeah.
It's an environment where people are trying to encourage you. And I just love theater because every performance is different. You're getting a different, you know, vibe every night. It's live theater is also hard. It's very hard to do.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it builds adversity. You know,
yeah,
it's good for kids, but that's awesome. That's definitely a good advice, a good thing to advise. But
we need to wrap this up because we've still got to talk about just
we've still got to like talk about why we're all here.
That's kind of my question. Miranda was actually leading up to my question, but my question can wait until the end of the show. When we're not recording.
Oh, what?
No.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, let's go ahead. What's your question?
Have you seen Quiet on Set? What are your thoughts?
I have.
I don't need any details. I just want to know what your thoughts are.
Well, my thoughts on Quiet on Set were... there's a lot of problems with that. There's a lot of problems with the documentary itself. I specifically happen to know stuff that's true, stuff that's not, stuff that was missing, stuff that wasn't. But seeing that documentary is what prompted me to speak out about my experience, which there was last year, right about last May it was, came out an article of so you can look that up and read about that. But it was
it's Business Insider, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was with Business Insider. But it's, you know, there's lots of problems with the documentary itself. But
did they ask you to be on the documentary or?
I don't believe so. I mean, I've gotten asked to be part of a lot of different things, and I say no to most of it. But just the you know, certain aspects of it that people shared their stories that moved me to share my story. Yeah. And that's kind of how it happens. One person being brave begets someone else. And so I did work with a writer on an article about my experience, which you can find on the interwebs, because I saw, because of that documentary.
That was a hard question for you.
No, I think I answered it beautifully.
I mean in the sense of having trauma. That's what I'm apologizing for.
Oh, honey, if I didn't have trauma, I'd have absolutely nothing. So we're trauma from stem to stern. I don't know what would happen if I was happy one day. There might be nothing left in me. Exactly. So that's my answer to that. Thank you.
Beautifully said, Elfie.
What, baby?
I said beautifully said.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you guys being here, and it's nice to meet you, James,
nice
and Miranda.
Kiki.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. What's her name? Thanks for being such great supporters of the pad.
Always. So sorry I have ADHD.
I said thank you for being really cool as creators, because I guarantee you fucking bald podcast man would not be doing this. Like, bald podcast man would have told
no,
me
all the technical
difficulties to go take a long walk off a short pier.
Oh my gosh. Well, if it was
an up zero? No. Or was that Ree just toasting that sentiment, James? Gotcha. Right.
The bar is in hell, but thank you.
It's like James checking a product placement right at the end, out of nowhere. He was like, James is brought to you by 7-Up Zero.
All right, thank you guys. This has been really fun.
Thank you, babies.
We'll be back for season 6 premiere. Talk about Here Comes Your Man. No, we're going to do that separately. Because of the technical difficulties. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Because 6 voices on mic is way too many for a full episode.
I was confused. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I'm so sorry.
Thank you guys for hanging in there with us through all the technical issues.
No, it wasn't you, Iggy. It was the platform.
It literally was not you.
All right.
Ava's that table, though.
I'm so sorry.
Bye.
All right, bye, guys.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Tay,
Lucy,
Iggy,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Tawny,
the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Corey,
Chelsea,
Brandy,
and Alika.
Thank you, guys. We love you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast, PAHDCAST. Thank you.